tonight, I thought we'd look at the kingdom of heaven. See where that's at. I'm going to start in Matthew. I'm going to be a lot in Matthew, so you can open your Bible to Matthew. Right now I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and then 11 and 12. So in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So here we all know this is John the Baptist. He's preparing the way for Jesus as he's coming. And then we'll see in Matthew chapter 4, verses 17. Now this is after Jesus had been tempted and tried. It says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" So Jesus is picking up right where John the Baptist did. It's, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And we'll be looking at chapter 13 tonight in Matthew with the parable of the kingdom of heaven, where Jesus is going to be telling us a little bit about heaven through parables. Because, as we'll see tonight, the Jews at that time were looking for a different type of kingdom. And we'll go through just a few examples of that and what Jesus had. So in Matthew chapter 13, we have seven parables. And out of the seven parables, in six of them, Jesus, his words are, the kingdom of heaven is like. So in the parable of the weeds, it's, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seed among the weeds and went away." And then the parable of the mustard seed says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took, planted in the field." And then we see, "The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that a woman put into a mix, into about 60 pounds of flour, until it worked all the way through the desert." And then we have the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field." And again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls." And then the parable of the net. "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the water and caught all kinds of fish." So here we're seeing that Jesus is explaining a truth. He's revealing a truth through parables. So it reveals that at the same time it conceals. And that's what it's doing there. And the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a kingdom as a country, state, or territory ruled by a king or queen. This is what the Jewish people were looking for. This is the kind of kingdom that they were thinking about when their Messiah came. This is what our Messiah is going to do for us. So, and under this rule, in this type of rule, the Jewish nation, they felt that they would rule the world under their Messiah. Their Messiah would be the ruler of the world. This was vision. And others shared that vision with them. As we go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and verse 13, this is about the Magi when they come to visit the Messiah. That's in Matthew 2. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when he rose and came to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." And then in verse 13, same chapter, it says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother Stay there until I tell you, for King Herod is going to search for your child and kill it. So Herod shared this same view, that here's someone coming, who's this king of the Jews? He sees this as a rival coming against his throne. So Herod views the same thing there. Also in Matthew 11, verses 2 and 3, this is John the Baptist has been put in prison. And it says, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? So John started to have some doubt, because again, they're looking for this world ruler. And so just for a moment, he had some doubts. Jesus tells him, go back to John and report what you've seen. I am him. But so John had that same view. And then also in Acts chapter 1, when we go there, Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, this is before Jesus ascends. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father's promise, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So the apostles were still thinking this, that we're going to have a political kingdom that's going to be set up. They knew Jesus had died. He is resurrected. Now it's just a matter of time when that's going to happen. But we see that Jesus' kingdom is something different. And we go back to Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. It says, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. So here, Jesus is actually telling them, he's going to reveal a secret, the secret of the kingdom of heaven. This is something that God can only reveal to his followers, is through God. He's going to reveal the secret of heaven. And so we're going to see, as we look through this parable, we're going to look through the parable of the sower this evening. That's one of the two that give an explanation of them. But we're just going to look at the parable of the sower tonight so we can get a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is here. So in Matthew 13, I'll read the start in verse 1. It says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a crowd gathered around him that he got up into a boat and he sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Then the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you and not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly families of heart and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but worries of his life and the deceitfulness of the wealthy choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So we come to understand that the seed is the word of God. That's the starting part. And in a number of these parables, we have seed that is represented as the word of God. And we see that seed is kind of insignificant. When you look at a seed, it's very small. It's very small. But what it can produce, like Jesus said, 36 or 100 times. And so, in Acts chapter 2, we see here in verse 37. Now, this is when Peter was addressing the crowd on the day of Pentecost. And we see here that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter had presented the gospel to them. He had presented Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. The people then realized, we've committed a great sin. We killed Jesus. We killed our Messiah, Son of God. And that's why they're asking, what can we do? What can we do to make this better? So that's like in that, it says that the people were cut to the heart. That's what the gospel does to you. It makes you realize you're a sinner. Without Jesus in my life, there's nothing for me. There's nothing for me. It pierces your heart. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring the Word of God." So here it's telling us that the Word of God presents the gospel to sinners and calls them to repent, and also to believe in Jesus and to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And God's Word is imperishable, and it will endure forever. And that's the hope that we have. We will endure forever in Christ. And it's through His Word, through the gospel, that we get this. And so, what was the kingdom that Jesus came to establish? It wasn't a political kingdom at all. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about, the kingdom for Him, is He wants to reign in our hearts. That's where Jesus' kingdom is. It will start in our hearts. And the human heart is the realm in where He came to reign. And when we submit our lives to Christ and allow Him to change us over into His own image, it's then that we have that opportunity to be able to share the seed, to be able to share what God has done for us with others. And that will increase His kingdom here, because now they'll know of Jesus' love and be able to share that with others. And that's where the kingdom of God is established in our hearts. It's something that you can't see coming. You can't point to it, but you know through our works. The kingdom of God is in us. And so that's pretty much our lesson tonight, that the kingdom of God, Jesus wants to reign in our hearts. And at the close of every lesson, we always want to present an opportunity for you. If you're not a member of the New Testament Church, if you haven't heard the gospel, you have to hear the gospel to have your heart pierced. Also, you have to believe it. And you need to confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And then you need to repent. Jephthah, and then God will add you to his church. So if you haven't had that opportunity,